Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program all over the nation. This week, even tonight, today, in coming days, millions of young Americans are graduating from high school, college, you name it. Graduation commencement ceremonies are the order of the day. I spoke at one commencement this morning. I'll speak at another just after this program. Another coming next week. This time of the year, I spend a great deal of my time dealing with commencement issues. I'd love to know something from you. And let's think specifically of high school graduates today. Millions of them graduating today and in coming weeks. What would you say to them? If you were the commencement speaker, what would you want to say? You know, tonight, I'll be very honest, I'm speaking at the graduation of my own daughter's high school, and she's among the graduates. Katie's graduating, and that puts a whole new perspective on this. But one angle on that that kind of weighs on me is that I'm not just speaking to her. I'm not just speaking to her fellow graduates. I'm really speaking on behalf of the other parents who are there. It's different than any other occasion in which I've spoken before because I'm one of the parents at this particular graduation. That puts a whole new picture on it, a whole new color on it. And I have my address prepared for tonight, but I'd love to know, what is it that you would say? Some of you have been there before. You've had kids who've graduated. You've known what was on your heart at that time. Some of you right now are looking at kids running around, perhaps the house, not even in school yet, and this isn't even on your horizon. Well, let me tell you, it should be. You've heard it before. It's just a twinkling of an eye, and you're there. It's true. What would you say if you were the commencement speaker to a group of 17- and 18-year-olds getting ready to go to college, go out in the world, and face the future? What is it that you would say? The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Be a commencement speaker tonight. We don't want to hear the whole speech. We just want to know what you'd want to say. The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. While you're thinking about the preparation of your commencement speech, let me just give you an update on some of the things in the news. At my website, albertmohler.com, you'll find a major article this morning entitled, Parents Launch a Crusade for Life. Then after that, the quotation, we want them to talk to us. This is based on a story in the New York Times published just a couple of days ago, in which the reporter was, and by the way, the reporter is Amy Harmon. She did a very fine job with this. The reporter is talking to America about the fact that 90% of all babies that are diagnosed with the likelihood of Down syndrome are aborted in the womb. The story is about a group of parents who are pushing back, parents in particular of Down syndrome children who are saying, don't abort the children. Don't assume that once you receive the word that your child may be carrying the markers for Down syndrome, don't assume that the natural response to that should be abortion. You know, in this post-Christian age where abortion on demand has become so much a part of the culture and where a eugenic mentality has really filtered down to us in which we expect every baby to be perfect by our own definition, and with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists now urging all women to be tested with every pregnancy for Down syndrome, when you realize that 90%, that's 9 out of 10, of all diagnoses for Down syndrome lead to the abortion of the baby, you realize we're in an entirely new territory here. I have talked about this issue several times on this program, and at my website today you'll find this article. You'll find that chilling statistic affirmed by no less an authority than the New York Times. And by the way, that's something right there. It's very, very interesting from a cultural and from an observational perspective that the New York Times would decide to run this article. It's very interesting that they find this to be a major story. And of course it is. Now, you could expect that the kickback to this, the response back to this, could be, well, more or less equal and opposite. Peter Birkenhead, writing at Salon.com, makes some absolutely amazing statements. He says, several years ago, my ex-wife and I decided to terminate a pregnancy because the 18-week-old fetus she was carrying had tested positive for Down syndrome. It was the most agonizing decision either of us had ever made, but one I know neither of us regrets. Now, listen to what he says when he comes down here. He says, Is a woman who decides to abort a fetus that will be born into poverty or addicted to crack practicing eugenics? I don't happen to think so. I would also exempt screening for genetic diseases or syndromes that significantly impair a person's quality of life from that term, which I think would be reserved for the clearly malign use of genetic testing to screen out undesirable attributes like gender or hair color or sexual identity. But my opinion is irrelevant. The only opinion that counts is the opinion of the woman making the decision, end quote. Now, one of the things you hear from the cultural left all the time is that we ought not to use slippery slope arguments because they are false. The problem with that objection is that slippery slope arguments are rarely false. It turns out that they are probably true. Now, you have to trace it back to its source and its effects, but let's just look at this. I mean, after all, we began talking about the fact that 9 out of 10 babies diagnosed with Down syndrome were aborted in the womb. Now we have a response to that article in the New York Times at Salon.com from a man who puts his name on the article. And Salon.com is on the left, yes. It's a very well-known liberal website, but it's also right in popular culture. So when you hear a voice like this at Salon.com, you know that there are a good number of Americans who agree with this. He says, look, I think that an abortion for Down syndrome just makes sense. We see here the collision of worldviews. On the one hand, you have persons who believe that the diagnosis of Down syndrome means you ought to abort the baby. And as a matter of fact, there are some doctors and bioethicists who say that willingly bringing a baby into the world that has Down syndrome is itself immoral. On the other side, you have those, and I would argue that Christians must be here, who affirm the absolute dignity and humanity of every single person, who defend the right to life of all persons, born and unborn, regardless of physical disability, mental impairment, Down syndrome, or anything else. But when I talk about this slippery slope argument, you'll hear people on the left say, look, it's just Down syndrome. But of course, it's never just Down syndrome. This man says that he personally would be against abortion for, and he uses even the term clearly malign or clearly evil, he says for undesirable attributes like gender or hair color or sexual identity. But then he says, and this is the thing, that his opinion is irrelevant. Listen to these next words. The only opinion that counts is the opinion of the woman making the decision. You know, we now have redefined the so-called woman's right to choose. It's now a woman's right to choose whatever baby she wants. Her opinion unassailable. By the way, returning to the question of Down syndrome, one of the things that we will miss in this society with the abortion of all of these babies with Down syndrome is the beauty of these children and the joy they bring into so many lives. The families about which Amy Harmon was writing in her article at the New York Times are not parents who chose to have children with Down syndrome. They did not, out of a universe of options, say, we would rather have a child with Down syndrome. Instead, they found themselves with a baby with Down syndrome. You can imagine that they must have gone through all the emotions that would happen to any parent who all of a sudden realizes the special challenges faced by a child. But what makes them so important here is that they come back to say, we love these children. These children love us. They are capable of joy. They have brought us immeasurable joy. They are human beings made in the image of God, Christian parents would say here, and we would be less without them. At my website, I add something I hope you'll listen to. I hope you'll take the time to go to the bottom of this article, and I hope you'll listen to Gary and Grant Gupton. Gary has been on this program before talking about what it is to raise a child with Down syndrome. Gary introduces in this brief clip you will hear, as you go to my website, you will hear this dad introduce his son, now a teenage boy, to lead the congregation of Highview Baptist Church in prayer. You'll hear this wonderful young man who I've come to know, who always greets me with a smile and with a very, very warm greeting. You'll hear this boy lead a congregation in prayer. You'll hear the glory of God distilled in a human voice with Down syndrome, speaking from the heart to his Creator, leading his fellow believers in Christ to pray. Remember that when you see an article like that in the New York Times, when you especially see an article like Peter Birkenhead's at Salon.com, and realize what we now face in this society, the struggle for human dignity has never been a small thing. It is a huge thing. The struggle for human dignity often comes down to questions of the bioethical crisis, the questions at the beginning and the end of life, the questions about what is now so much and so often discussed as the quality of life. Who really knows how to measure the quality of life? You know, it's an arrogant presumption to believe that we can get into the mind of a child with Down syndrome and decide that that's just a life that isn't worth living. Just ask these parents, or just ask one of these children. They'll tell you the very opposite is true. And the glory of God is evident when God's people stand up in defense of life, do so winsomely and courageously and clearly in the face of the culture of death. A lot of young people graduating tonight and in nights to come. What would you say to them if you are the commencement speaker? That's the topic for our program today. The phone number, 877-893-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. It's commencement time in America. You know the trappings. You know what to expect. Lots of caps and gowns out there. Not all black anymore, by the way. I see them now in all kinds of colors. Perhaps you've had a graduate recognition time in your local church. Regardless, almost every extended family knows this time of the year you're going to get those invitations in the mail. And lots of people are going to be gathering for these things we call graduation ceremonies. Almost every one of them has a speaker. If you were the speaker, what would you say? I'm the graduation speaker tonight. Interestingly enough, Katie, my daughter, is the student speaker. So that's going to be interesting. I'm speaking not only as the invited speaker tonight, but as a parent. That's a big deal. What would you say if you had this opportunity, as Christians in particular, to speak to young people about the future? What would you say? Let's go to Ty calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Ty.
Hey, Albert. Thanks for having me. I guess just what I would say is, of course, we would all say this is a new chapter in your life that's going to begin. But the thing that you need to keep in mind that you're going to have to sometimes step out of that box that you're comfortable with, and your values and your morals are going to be pushed to degrees that you may have never imagined in your life. And that you just keep your focus on God, and that He will help you to grow and stretch in ways that you never imagined.
Well, thanks for your call, Ty, and I think that time of testing is certainly something that would be on just about everyone's mind. I mean, you look at these young people, and some of them have faced some testing, you know, where they are now. Interestingly, in this generation, some of these young people will have experienced the divorce of their parents, sometimes tragedy in their families. They will have experienced peer pressure and all kinds of temptations. But all that is likely just a foretaste of what is to come. I like your theme of accountability there. I think that's really important to make clear. Getting a report card's one thing. The higher accountabilities are quite another thing. Ty, thank you for your call. What would you say? Give us a call at 877-893-8255. Be the commencement speaker tonight. What would you say to these young people? The number 877-893-8255. Let's go to Claire, also listening on WFIA. Claire, what would you say?
Well, I heard a quote, Tom Bodek quoted somebody named Alan Chalmers. I don't have any idea about the faith of these men, but I think it's a great idea. Chalmers said the grand essentials of happiness are someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for. And I think if you put that in a Christian framework, that would make an excellent message for young people today.
Well, let's follow that through just a little bit. The someone to love, for a Christian, that would mean, more than just a love here on earth. It would be that love we would have for our Savior. But yes, there also would be the demonstration of what it would mean to find love here on this earth. And of course, that's on the mind of an awful lot of young people. Romantic love. You know, one of the big questions on their minds is, you know, who will I marry? Will I marry? Hopefully the answer to that is yes for the vast majority of them. And hopefully that's a major life purpose of their lives right now. And there's something to do and something to hope for. Yes, Claire, when you say those things, I guess one of the things that strikes me is how empty it would be to try to come up with the proper objects for those 3 points if you weren't a Christian. In other words, the someone to love, the something to do, and the something to hope for is going to be pretty thin, I'm afraid, especially the something to hope for if your hope is not in Christ. Claire, thanks for your call. Very interesting point. The phone number, 877-893-8255. Give us a call and tell us what you would say if it was your opportunity or responsibility to speak right now to those graduating from high school. Maybe you know some. Maybe you've got one. For that matter, maybe you are one. What would you say? Again, the phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, one of the big challenges in a speaking responsibility like this is avoiding the platitudes. Because for commencement and graduation speeches, the platitudes are all right there. All the talk about the big wide future. All the talk about, you know, turning a new page in your life. All, you know, all the talk about opening with a brand new start and all the rest. You can just go through all these things. As you move the tassel, you move the next chapter in your life and all this. And it's there. And the reason why it's so difficult is because it's actually hard to talk about this meaningful transition in life without talking in the terms of some of those things we've all heard before. And a part of it's because we've all been there before, or we're on our way. This is one of those transitions of life just about all of us know about. The development of the modern American comprehensive high school is one of the biggest social developments of the 20th century. It changed the way adolescents were raised. It changed the way teenagers were socialized. And it changed the way that Americans understood the transition to adulthood. Interestingly, we're now moving adulthood out beyond that. For a lot of young people, graduation from college is far more in their minds a transition to adulthood than graduation from high school. To join the conversation, to tell us what you would say to today's graduates, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We've got callers coming. We'll get into your calls in just a moment. You know, one of the interesting things here is when especially you get to the college level, there is so much nonsense. I was just looking at a list of the invited commencement speakers for so many of the colleges and universities in America. And let me tell you, there's some really, really difficult stuff. Awful stuff. Left-wing nonsense stuff. Postmodern drivel stuff. Political agenda stuff that's going to be voiced from America's college and university platforms. Let's hope at least at the high school level there's a little more common sense. Let's go to Eric calling from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Eric, go right ahead.
Thanks, Al. I would suggest to these students that, number one, as they enter this new phase of their life, that they know what they believe and that they go into that phase of their life with a commitment not to compromise their beliefs and to know, you know, what they're willing to take a stand for.
Eric, let me ask you a question. When you look at say, a 17- or 18-year-old graduating from high school in America today, do you look at them with a great deal of hope, or do you look at them with a lot of concern?
Well, I have a lot of concern, but I think, Al, I also have a lot of hope, because I think many of these kids are confused and don't know what they believe, and I think the impact they commencement speaker can have, just asking them to kind of look in the mirror and ask themselves what are the uncompromising values that they're going to stand for, it could stir some thought that could lead them to Christ.
Eric, you've been here before, I'll bet.
Yes, I have.
As a matter of fact, Eric, I know who you are. I really appreciate you calling. This is Eric Pillmore from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. You know, Eric, you and I have actually talked about some of these things in the past. When you think about your own kids, what do you wish someone had said at their graduation that maybe was left unsaid?
Well, I think it boils down to the values that these kids need to stand for, and I don't think there's enough dialogue about ensuring that our kids, you know, move to different phases of their life knowing what they believe. And I think instead we live in this tolerant society where we want to give kids the freedom to just think and change their minds however frequently they want to, versus know what they believe and stand for.
Eric, great point. I really appreciate your call. To join the conversation, just call us at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, one of the big issues that I think is missing from an awful lot of this conversation with America's graduates is the fact that the future really doesn't belong to them. Not from a Christian perspective. It belongs to Christ. It's in that future we need to find our future. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
The question is this: if you were a commencement speaker speaking to America's high school graduates, what would you say? As I said this morning, I spoke to a group of college graduates here at Boyce College. And as I was giving my charge to them, I spoke from 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and following. And, you know, I think there must have been some people out there in the congregation who thought, that's a strange text. I mean, you know, where is the go out and seize the day kind of stuff? Verse 18 of 1 John 2 reads, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour." Then you continue through, down through verse 24, where it ends, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." You know, that's a real word of warning. That's how John intended it. John speaks, as he does in his three letters in the New Testament, with such parental, fatherly love for the church and for those Christians. He refers to them, the Greek word is paideia, which, by the way, is the traditional word used for the student in Greek education. But he uses this word, paideia, little children. He also uses the word beloved. The time is short. It is the last hour. You know, if you're an 18-year-old in America today, you do not think that the time is short. The time seems really long. Only later do you find out just how short it is. Jim's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WPIT. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. Just one brief comment. I would mention Ecclesiastes and where it says to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what I would stress.
Well, what great advice. As a matter of fact, we are told that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom in the Scripture. So, Jim, you know, that I can't think, you know, once you say that, anything else you say is going to be on firm ground, on a very firm foundation there. Because if you do fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom. And by the way, the Bible, of course, makes a distinction between wisdom and knowledge. And that's a distinction that's largely missing in today's secular educational establishment, where everything's just a matter of facts and opinions and values. Wisdom, according to the Bible, is knowledge put to a godly use. And that's why the Bible honors the wise man, not necessarily the smart man, but the wise man. Two very different things. Jim, great advice. Thanks for that word. Appreciate your call from Pittsburgh. To tell us what you would say to the graduates, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Brianna calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Brianna.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. Thanks for taking my call. I would encourage youth out there that are graduating to be aware of what's going on in the world around them. I feel like most of us are so concerned about what's going on in Hollywood that we don't even know what kind of laws Congress is passing or who's in charge of certain things going on in the world.
You know, Brianna, that encourages me. Someone said the other day that, you know, we just need to divide the world between the adults and everyone else. And they meant it chronologically. It struck me at the time when I heard it that there are an awful lot of people who chronologically would be considered an adult who've never grown up. And from what I hear from you, there are some people that are rather young who I think have grown up in a lot of ways beyond those who are older. Being an adult, being a grown-up, taking responsibility, means being engaged with the issues of the day, means being knowledgeable about the things that are important. And, Brianna, boy, do I love your point. It means understanding that what goes on in Washington ultimately is far more important than what goes on in Hollywood. The celebrity culture, it's not just an attraction to the young, although perhaps just even given the movie-going habits and the entertainment habits of young people, they're more susceptible to this. I'm scared to death to live in a society where there's so many adults who seem to know far more about the love lives of various empty-headed actors and actresses in Hollywood, and they're unaware of where issues of life and death and meaning and morality are at stake in our national government and elsewhere. Brianna, thank you so much for that call. There's still time for you to join the discussion. Call 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, as I'm thinking about this, I can't help but think about this as a parent right now. A parent of a high school senior graduating tonight. I'd love to know, what are some of you also who are parents wishing would be said to your children on an occasion such as this? What would you say? What would you want to be said? You know, an interesting flip on that question is, what are you afraid you're going to hear that you wish had never been said? The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast. You be the commencement speaker. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. You be the commencement speaker. What would you say? I am speaking at my daughter's commencement from high school tonight, speaking to her class. I spoke to a college graduating class this morning. I'll speak to a graduating class next week. This is the time of the year when this kind of thing just happens. It's not just perfunctory. At least we hope it's not. Let's hope it's far more than platitudes. What would you say? The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Steve, listening on KCCS, calling from Salem, Oregon. Go ahead, Steve.
Albert, God will do fine tonight, and so will you. But I think I would remind them that life is short, and to really encourage them to do something that will live long after they're gone for eternity. And the key is relationships and vertical relationships with God through Christ being number one, and then horizontal relationships with one another the other.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like you're about ready to give the address, Steve. I appreciate that. There is a horizon on this, of course, when you say that life is short. And, you know, just the April 19th, I believe it was, tragedy at Virginia Tech, you know, just, again, the reminder to us that those victims were overwhelmingly very young. By and large, the students there, very young, of the same generation as those who will be graduating from high school this year. Some of them not even completing their first year there at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's commencement is today, was this morning for the graduate school, and is tonight for the university. Talk about a challenge. What would you say in a situation such as that? Steve, I appreciate your call. Tom, listening on WFIA, go right ahead.
Hey, Dr. Mueller, thanks for talking with me, sir. I would just say that, you know, I'm kind of riding on the back of what you had said just a minute ago about, you know, the hour is now. I would say our important decisions are held in the future by Christ. I would just elaborate on that in regard to abiding in Christ. And we can be in Christ in the next 10 minutes. To 30 minutes. You know, those decisions are our best decisions.
Tom, I appreciate your call. And you know, that word that that I used in my address this morning and in my fourth point, and that you just urged upon us, that word abide, is such a rich word. You know, again, verse 24 of the text I read this morning and used as the basis for my address in 1 John chapter 2 reads, "As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." That is such a rich word. As a matter of fact, our English language doesn't do the word justice as it's translated here from the Greek. It really means let the faith take up residence in you. Let it become you. Let it just take up residence in you so that it fills you. And if the faith takes up residence in you, then you will abide in Christ. And if you abide in the Son, you will abide also in the Father. It's just an incredibly important word. And the impoverishment of so much of our conversation as Christians is illustrated by the fact that very few Christians probably ever think about what it means to abide in Christ or for the faith to abide in us. Tom, I appreciate your call. Again, there's still time for you to tell us what you would say to today's graduates. Call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This morning when I spoke from the text, I basically had four points. Number one, the time is short. And, you know, John made that point by saying the hour is near. And he spoke this very clearly. He said it is the last hour. Secondly, the stakes are high. John speaks of those who went out from us because they were not of us. He speaks of the danger of apostasy and mentions the very clear and present threat of the Antichrist. And he says, even as we await that one whom we will know as the Antichrist, there are even lesser ones now who, filled with this same spirit, are doing grave injury, preaching not the gospel but an anti-gospel. Not a way that leads to life, but a way that leads to death. And so the stakes are incredibly high. The truth is secure. And John makes that point very, very clearly. John says, don't worry about the truth, you know, being secure. He says in verse 21, I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. In other words, we know what the truth is. We know what the gospel is. We know the truth about Christ. We can be confident in those things. The fourth point was that our faith abides, getting back to that word we just used. What would you say? Mike's calling. Listen on WFIA. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I would really challenge my audience to see that every single thing in life is about Christ, and that especially there are lost people in these audiences that you would encourage them to really trust in Christ and really urge them and plead with them. And I'm sure you've done that, but often those opportunities disturb people, make people feel happy, but never really encourage them to be challenged to know who Christ is and to put their trust in him.
You know, that is so well said, Mike, and I really appreciate that point with urgency, because even as both this morning and tonight I'm speaking to schools that are explicitly Christian, there are always family members there who you can count on not knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And that may be the only opportunity for many of them actually to hear the clear and compelling message of the gospel of Christ. And that's always a timely exhortation, Mike. I really appreciate that. Everything is about Christ. Put your trust in him. Again, that's one of those great summary statements that you've just offered us that does get right to the most important issue of life. And I guess that's what frustrates me when I think about so many of these commencement addresses by people who intend to bring something that's comedic and entertaining or something that's frivolous or political. None of that has to do with what is most important in life. But if you are speaking in a secular context, I have to just have a tremendous concern about what you could say that would be truly life-changing. I mean, what would there be? You know, I guess the most you can say in a lot of these settings is, you know, go ye therefore and make a lot of money. You know, build a great resume. You know, go make yourself famous and make your own way in the world. Find your values and live out your values as whatever they are. You know, we hope you don't become, you know, some kind of mass criminal, but do your own thing and seize the day. I mean, you could imagine how you just kind of like a train put together all these platitudes in a sequence. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of young people are hearing. Just go out and be all you want to be. Seize the day. The future's in your hands. You know, the future's not in their hands. They have significant responsibilities now to face, significant choices to make. But we need to keep in mind that none of us has the authority nor the power to take the future into our own hands. You know, the whole horizon has changed from the secular to the sacred, from the secular to the Christian, when we have to be the ones to remind ourselves that ultimately it is God who is in control. He is the one to whom we are accountable. The future is in his hands. One of the things I hope these young people will remember to do is to trust the sovereign God who rules over every single atom and molecule of this universe. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. This is Albert Mohler. I know, everyone said this, and it's true. I can remember, sort of, being 17 and graduating from high school. And by the way, I can't remember if there even was a speaker. That's a sobering thought as I get ready to be one tonight. I don't even remember if there was one when I graduated from high school. I do remember that the band played the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and we walked across the stage, and it was hundreds of us in this huge, very large metropolitan public high school. Very different tonight, much smaller school, Christian school. It'll be a very different situation, and yet it's still that very recognizable rite of passage. But I'm not just looking at it as a dispassionate observer. My wife Mary and I are going to be there realizing that our eldest child, Katie, is now graduating from high school, getting ready to go to college. Didn't seem possible. Here it is. And everything people told me in the past is true. It's just really, really fast. So what am I going to say tonight? I'm going to speak from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul talks about what he has lost for the sake of the gospel and what he has gained, and the race that he's running, pressing forward to the goal of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So I'm basically going to say that the students tonight need to learn to frame their future by asking three questions. Number one, what are you willing to lose? Apostle Paul gave an entire catalog of what he lost for the cause of the gospel, not to draw attention to himself, but rather to the greatness of the gospel, for which it was worth losing everything. Secondly, what do you hope to gain? There is both loss and gain in the Christian life. We lose some things in order to gain others. We better know pretty early in life not only what we're willing to lose, but what we hope to gain. And third, what are you running for? There's some goal out there, and every one of us has one. Some better, some worse, some holy, some unholy, some sacred, some secular. For the Christian, the goal had better be that of the Apostle Paul. The goal had better be Jesus Christ himself, running towards the completion of our salvation in the security of that which has been accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, a lot of parents are going to be wiping eyes all across America today as they watch their babies, now graduating from high school, ready to go out and, well, here come the train of platitudes, open a new chapter in their lives, seize the day, make their way in the world. By God's grace, let's pray they do so to the glory of Christ. We'll join you next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.